This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
With Chris Canty, we turn to you and we say a good morning.
Good morning, Dave. Good morning, Rick. I'm doing okay this morning. My Lakers got a big win last night to go up 3-1 on the Heat, as I knew I would. I predicted a gentleman's sweep before that series even got started. Looks like that's on schedule. But last night with the Yankees, man, I just thought that they got too cute for their own good. I think they looked at this as a five-game series, and they tried to plot out the best strategy in terms of being able to get Happ in there for a start. And they tried to tee it up for him with getting the Rays to set a lefty-heavy lineup, five lefty bats in their lineup last night, and then sneak him in there in the second inning, and it just looked like it backfired because J. Happ wasn't good at all.
Good morning, Rick. How are you?
Oh, good morning, David. Before we take a quick turn down to Negative Town, I just want to take the time quickly to wish my beautiful daughter, Ella, a happy birthday this morning.
What number are we at here today?
We're at four already. We're four. At number four already.
Oh, goes fast, doesn't it?
It goes way too fast, man.
Right?
Way too fast.
Yep. But by the time you know it, you'll wake up and you'll blink. You'll be like, wait, she's 13?
Yeah, so 15? We're in Paris. We're in Paris today. She wanted a Parisian birthday, so I'm doing the show with a beret on currently.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Nice. Is croissants for lunch?
Yeah. Chocolate croissants.
Nice.
You better believe it, baby. Oh, yeah. We're going all out.
All right. Can you take us to Negative Town now?
Negative Town? Yeah, I didn't understand it. I mean, we'll listen to some of the sound with J. Happ at some point in the next couple minutes. But he clearly wasn't on board, right? I mean, he wasn't on board. This is why I hate analytics. I get analytics. I think you should use analytics. But you take the human element out of it. Like, you don't know how J. Happ, and clearly after the game he was upset about it, how he's going to react to coming into a game in the second inning.
Right.
Not going through his normal routine. Not to mention, J. Happ struggles in his first inning. J. Happ isn't very good. Like, he's not. He's really not good in his first inning. And on top of it, if I were to ask you before this game started, which inning, if they actually let Davey Garcia pitch the game, which inning would Davey Garcia, in his first postseason start, have the most trouble with?
The first inning.
Exactly right. So what
I thought he was fine.
No, he was fine. His secondary stuff was good. He didn't have great control of his fastball. I mean, he's probably a little bit nervous. So I would expect him to struggle a little bit in the first inning. So you're not going to get the best out of Davey Garcia.
Plus, Rizzaroni's hitting home runs off of everybody.
So. Let me say it. A Rosarena is.
There you go, Dave.
I was sleepless last night. He's terrific. He's an unbelievable player.
I don't understand. After you did what you did, to Blake Snell and that pitching staff in the first game, what you've done to Bieber, Carrasco. I mean, you're talking about these are some of the best pitchers in Major League Baseball that you've dominated. Why all of a sudden now are we choosing to get cute like this?
I don't know. How are you not livid about this?
Dave, this was like Revenge of the Nerds. That's what this was. Like, our analytics department also hates the Rays. So we want a piece of the Rays, and we want to come up with this fakakta opener with Davey Garcia and J. Happ, which, oh, by the way, the Rays didn't even flinch.
You think they had no idea? Michael
of course
Kay,
they
I
did.
I was listening to the show yesterday. Kay on his show is saying he thinks they're going to go to Montgomery after the first inning. This was obvious that this was the plan. Now, it wasn't Montgomery, but it was Happ, which is, you know,
it should have been Montgomery, though.
It should have been Montgomery. Anyone, I would have felt Montgomery. A lot better about Montgomery than Happ going in there.
That is
I told
awful.
You guys all season, I don't trust J. Happ, especially in a postseason game. And I get it that Montgomery and Garcia don't have that experience, but in terms of what they've shown me with their stuff and their ability to pitch and get out of trouble, I felt better about those guys than J. Happ. J. Happ ain't been right all year, man.
He was awful.
This was not the guy that we saw a couple of years ago in the second half of that season where he was lights out and he didn't lose a game. This is not that same J. Happ. And so I think Brian Cashman just got too smart for himself, for his own good. He said, you know what, if I'm going to pitch Happ at some point in a five-game set, let me try to hide him in game two. And I just think in this type of situation, you try to win as many games as you can, as quickly as you can, and you deal with the problems of game three when they come up. You cross that bridge when you get there.
Completely agree. But here's the thing. If you wanted J. Happ, why not just start J. Happ? Like, if that's the guy, you want to get this lefty-heavy lineup, like you have some tremendous advantage there? It makes
But he didn't
no
even do a great
they
job
don't
against
trust
the lefties.
J-Happ. They don't trust J-Happ either.
But he didn't do a great job against the lefties. Why all of a sudden? I mean, I know Tampa's a good team, but this is not a murderer's row of a lineup. It's not. He didn't do the job against the lefties. I mean, Wendell reaches on a single, and then you got the Zeno two-run home run. He walks
the
Troy.
The righties were the one that did the damage, though. You had Margot and
Zanino. No, I know, but there's a solo home runs won't kill you. The home runs were to the righties, but he was in there to get lefties out.
Yeah.
And he's not a lefty slayer. That's not who J-Hap is.
No, but his numbers are marginally better against lefties than righties, as you would expect.
Yeah, but marginally. They're marginally better. So why am I going to risk having him be uncomfortable going into a game in the second inning because he can't go through his routine, which clearly he was.
That's what it was. It's too much analysis.
Yeah, but why are you trying to...
What's the phrase? Paralysis by analysis? That's what it was last night.
If I were to ask you, who is the smartest analytical team in Major League Baseball?
I'd probably say Tampa Bay.
Okay, exactly right. So why are you trying to outsmart them? The reason why Kevin Cash during the game said he was surprised wasn't because it was something that he hadn't thought about. It was because he doesn't think it was a great move in the first place. Yeah, we thought about it. Not really a great move. I wouldn't do it. I mean, that would be like the Los Angeles Chargers trying to pull a fast one on Bill Belichick in Foxborough.
Yes.
We're going to have Justin Herbert start.
But just so play spend your
the,
game.
They'll
just
spend the entire week game. Preparing for Justin Herbert, and then after the first possession, we'll put in Tyrod Taylor. It's still Tyrod Taylor.
That'll shock him. Right.
It's still J-Hap.
You're 100% right. I mean, and Garcia wasn't bad. It's not like he went out there and got banged around in the first inning and four hits and three runs. You're like, oh, God, we have to get him out. He was fine.
You saw him leaning over the edge of the dugout. He was disgusted. He didn't want to come out of that game. But I guess this was the plan going into it. And, you know, both guys had to be on board with it because this is what Brian Cashman ultimately wanted. And who's going to push back on Brian Cashman in that organization if that's what his department says they should try to go with as an overall strategy?
I think the fans
Nobody,
are probably going
to Not
push
even
back.
Aaron Boone. So it doesn't make sense to come out here and criticize Aaron Boone. I know they try to frame it as a collaborative effort, but it's not collaborative. It's Brian Cashman going to Aaron Boone and saying, this is what we want to do, and now you sell it to the players and get those guys to be on board with it. The only thing I would say,
but Chris, if you're going to give Aaron Boone credit for putting, you know, for playing Clint Frazier in some of the other moves, you have to give him. I mean, he's going to take some.
I don't give him credit for that though, Rico. When did we get Aaron Boone credit for setting a lineup like that? When have we done that all year? We haven't.
I'm not saying us. I'm saying Yankees fans in general. We'll give him credit when he makes a decision. When we all know it's. I mean, this is him sitting in a room with Brian Cashman in the analytics department making these decisions or coming up with these decisions.
But this is not on Boone. This is Cashman and beyond.
Oh, and you could see that after the game.
This is what we've crunched the numbers, and this is what we've come up with, and this is what you have
to do. Yeah, but then, see, again, going back to why I hate analytics, I don't care what the numbers tell you with the platoon and everything else. I understand that. But you're also talking about human beings and how in certain situations they're going to react, either positively or negatively. And clearly... I mean, you got to play some of this half sound. I couldn't believe what he was saying. Like, you could clearly tell he was. I mean, there was a one point during the game where you thought he hurt himself. I mean, he threw a ball to make it 3-0, and he walked off the mound like he was hurt. They actually thought he was hurt, but he was so disgusted.
Of course, he's disgusted.
I don't want to hear that from Hap. Like, I really just don't. You know what I mean? Because it's like everything is not always going to be ideal. You're still expected to go out there and perform. And what the organization tried to do is set you up to have success by creating the very best matchups with this Rays lineup that they possibly could. And you still went out there and stunk up the joint. So I don't really want to hear all of that from Hap. I don't need a player's psyche being that fragile where they can't go out there and perform in the postseason, do their job, and try to help their team win a championship.
Yeah, but it hasn't been great the entire season. I mean, Hap's been upset the entire season. So I don't know why you would choose this time to mess with it. I mean, it's pretty much an open hand slap in your face. We don't trust you.
Yeah,
is what they told him.
Well, I think that's obvious, but think about it, Rick. In a five-game series, weren't you going to have to use Hap at some point in some role with no days off? You were going to have to use him at some point.
I understand. So why not give him the best opportunity to have success where he feels the most comfortable, which is clearly going through his routine starting a game?
Yeah, but they don't trust that. They don't believe in that. Clearly, that's why they went with this strategy.
So now what you're telling me then is that you trust Jordan Montgomery in game four is what you trust.
Well, yeah, some combination of Jordan Montgomery and Davey Garcia. They said they're going to see him again in game four at some point. So, I mean, yeah, I trust – here's what I would have rather had, Rick. I would have rather them gone with Tanaka like they did in game two in Cleveland and then see if you can go up 2-0 in this series, and then we'll figure out game three when we get to it. We'll cross that bridge when we get there. Let's not try to get ahead of ourselves and get too cute. They're planning out the series before it even happens. My thing is this, just go with Tanaka, who is your second-best pitcher, against their second-best pitcher in Tyler Glasnow, or the guy that they believe is their second-best pitcher. Why not do that and see what you can come up with?
I just don't understand why. I mean, you scored 31 runs in three games. The offense hasn't been a problem.
Too. I mean, you put 5 runs on the board.
And I understand Tyler Glasnow. I mean, he can be dominant. That's fine. But, I mean, you beat up Shane Bieber, Blake Snell, and Carrasco. Like you were gonna be able to score runs. Why not just have a short hook then with Davey Garcia? Like, let the kid settle in a little bit, see what he's capable of doing. I'm being completely honest with you. They haven't seen Davey Garcia yet. They've seen Hap before. As far as stuff is concerned, if I'm on the Rays, you did me a favor by taking Davey Garcia out.
Yeah,
Jay Hap.
Rick, you absolutely could have went with like a piggyback start. Davey Garcia, let him give you four innings, maybe five innings, and then you see if you go to Loaizaga or somebody else that can give you multiple innings, and you see where you're at as the game unfolds. That probably would have been the better strategy. But I guess they felt like they were going to have to use Hap at some point, and this was the spot that they felt most comfortable in coming into game two after a game one win, knowing that it wasn't a do-or-die situation, it wasn't a pivotal point in the series. So they believed.
Well, we'll see.
That's the only reason why I think they kept Tanaka until game three.
I will tell you
because they were going to experiment in game two.
If they lose this series, you will look back at last night and say, that's when they lost it. You will.
This is the turning point. This will be the turning point.
This is a huge turning point. If they lose tonight, you'll be upset with Tanaka, but you'll still turn back to game two and say, why did they do that? It made no sense. It still makes no sense. They outthought themselves. They got too cute. They got too smart is what happened there.
Yeah, I don't listen. If at some, I mean, you realize you're going to need J-Hap one way or another in a five-game series with no days off. You're going to need J-Hap. I would want to put him in. I would have to sit down with J-Hap and say, what do you feel most comfortable doing? If we decide to go with Davey Garcia in the first inning, have you get ready and pitch the second, is that something that you feel comfortable with? If he says
but
no.
But clearly not.
Well, obviously he didn't.
Clearly not. Listen, you talked about it all morning. 800-919-3776. Here he is. J-Hap, after the game, says he told the Yankees and Boone, both of those parties, that he would have preferred to start game two.
All things equal, yes. Having said that, and this is important, I want to repeat, when I'm in there, you got 100% of me. So I gave it what I had. I wasn't worried about when I was coming in at the time. I was trying to focus and trying to execute and trying to pitch.
Did you express that to Aaron or whoever when they presented this plan to you?
They know how I felt about it, but ultimately I pitch. When I pitch, you got me. There was no hesitation and no dwelling on what was going on. I was focused and trying to perform. I wish I would have done a better job.
But you hear him. You hear him tell you it's not what he wanted. Isn't the goal of a manager and a team to put a player in a position that he can succeed at the highest level? That wasn't what they did for Hap yesterday. And I'm not saying he's great.
Yeah, but
that's what they tried to do.
But you don't take – that's the problem with analytics, though. They don't
take all that out.
Exactly right.
It's not baked in. Correct.
Which I don't like, which I hate, actually.
Well, because it takes the feel of managing out, the feel of running a team out. It's just, you know, it's robotic. This guy, better in this situation, put him in there. But it doesn't take into account of, you know what, he's a human being, and maybe he doesn't feel comfortable coming in the second inning. It's not what he does. It's not his comfort zone.
Well, clearly it's not his comfort zone. I mean, the fact is he told his manager,
right,
I would rather start the game. So, I mean, I get it. I mean, you know, with matchups and everything else, and, you know, Boone going, and you could tell he was uncomfortable after the game answering the questions. That, you know, the way Tampa's built to take advantage of platoons. I mean, the guys that they're going to platoon, I mean, aren't the guys that you're scared of in the lineup anyway.
No. Who do you have more?
I mean, those guys aren't being taken out of the lineup. I don't care if it's lefty or righty. The guys that are hurting you in the series are staying in the lineup.
Right. Those are their guys. Who do you have more confidence in, Garcia or Hap, Chris?
Garcia.
Oh, there you go. Oh, there you go. What more is there to analyze?
Well, I guess you just can't predict what Garcia was going to give you. I guess that relatively unknown made them a little bit comfortable, but also the idea of Hap having to go out there and start a game and the Rays lineup know they're facing Hap, that probably made them uncomfortable too. I listen, it's not like Kevin Cash and the Rays didn't think that that was a possibility, but I just think this is more about Brian Cashman trying to find a situation where Hap would have the most success. And I get it, man. Listen, I understand that Hap is a creature of habit, as most professional athletes are. We got our habits, and we believe that they ultimately lead to us having some level of success. And anytime you take us out of those habits, those routines, you know, guys don't like it. Guys are uncomfortable. But to that, I would say this is the playoffs. And sometimes you're going to be asked to do things that you might be a little uncomfortable with, but they're what's in the best interest of the team, and you got to try to make it work. And for me, J-Hap just didn't pitch well last night, and I'm not going to let him off the hook, even though we don't love the strategy that Brian Cashman and the Yankees employed. He still got to go out there and make pitches. And he didn't last night.
I agree with you. Completely agree with you. But I still will say I think Garcia right now gives you a better chance of winning. And that's what would frustrate me so much as a fan of the New York Yankees. You took out a guy who I do have some confidence in and put in a guy who I have lesser amount of confidence in.
And on top of that, you put him in a situation where he's not comfortable.
Right.
So I can say, I mean, listen, I mean, when you make decisions like this, you hope that the guy you go to bails you out because you know that you're going to get criticized if it doesn't work, which is exactly what happened.
100%.
So if you already have a little trepidation of pitching Jay Happ, I personally would want to put him in the situation he feels most comfortable in, is what I would do.
So start him.
Well, no, because, I mean, he pitched. He wasn't good. He didn't make his pitches. But how much of that is because he wasn't comfortable? We made all the excuses for Tanaka. It was raining. It was windy. Okay, so that was part. You can say it's an excuse or part of the reason. I would say part of the reason why Jay Happ wasn't great, and I don't think he's great to begin with, but was because he wasn't on board with the plan. That has to be baked into the performance. It has to be.
Yeah, but I've seen him where he's comfortable coming out as a starter and not be good.
I get what you're saying, but you were going to need him to pitch in the series.
Yes.
At least put him in a spot where he feels most comfortable, and if he fails, you know what? He fails, that's on him.
So if you were plotting it out, then where would you have had him pitch? In game two, just let him be the starter? Or somewhere, you know, game four?
I probably would have saved him for game four. If I was going to do this piggyback, this fugaziness, I would have let Davey Garcia pitch is what I would have done. But if I had this whole, you know, piggyback idea, it would have been Garcia, Montgomery, and then I went Tanaka game three, and then if I need to use Happ, I'll use him in game four.
But maybe I get 5 1/3 out of Garcia, and I can just go to my bullpen.
Exactly right. You never know.
You didn't score runs. You scored 5 runs. You had 4 runs through 5 innings. I mean, you were putting runs on the board.
And you had chances in the 7th and the 9th.
Yeah, but the one thing I will say, boys, is last night it looked a little bit different when the Yankees were playing from behind with their at-bat quality. It looked a little bit different.
Well, it would help if they had an umpire that actually could call a strike.
See, huh?
He's awful. Oh. He was an embarrassment.
The one to LeMahieu was
a joke.
Egregious.
How about the one to Torres? How about the one to Torres?
That was bad. The one to Torres was bad.
Awful.
Like, I was clearly outside. Clearly outside.
But they're not even close.
Not even close. He did Davey Garcia no favors either.
No.
And that Arraisaroni bat at bat.
No, he's a some player, though.
He's horrendous. That's the other thing, though. I get it. I mean, I understand what you're trying to do. Like, the premise of it made sense. But, I mean, you act like...
Too cute.
No, but you act like you're making a decision going up against the Yankees lineup. Tampa's a good team, but offensively, they're not a great team.
No. Does Joey Wendell terrify you?
No. He's a good baseball player.
No, he's good, but...
He was damn good last night. He was damn good last night.
But you're not going into the game saying, we can't let Joey Wendell beat us. Their guys are their guys.
But that's the other thing, though, too, with the matchups and everything else. The guys that you're afraid of weren't coming out of the lineup.
No.
If it was left or right, they weren't coming out.
It's bad. Listen, let's be fair. The Yankees did an awful job last night. And we're going to go to the phone calls, and I'm sure every Yankees fan is going to be horrified at how they handled the situation.
Here's another thing before we take our first call that I had a problem with. Someone needs to explain to me, why do you have Mike Ford on the line, on the roster, if you're not going to use him to pinch hit for Gary Sanchez there?
Yeah.
Why, I don't understand.
That one. I'm with you on that one.
I mean, that was a terrible at-bat.
It was awful.
A horrible at-bat. He had no chance.
I didn't like either one of those at-bats at the top of the 7th. They were all bad at-bats at the end of that inning. All bad.
Yeah, it wasn't great. I mean, again, listen, I just don't understand. I mean, I get why they did it, but the second I sit down, I mean, there's blame to go around. I mean, Jay Happ has to execute. I get it. I mean, it's his job. That's what he gets paid to do. And they were trying to do him a solid by, you know, we know you struggle in the first inning. We'll get, you know, David to go through the top of the lineup.
You. Yep.
But on both sides, it didn't make sense to me. Davey Garcia is 21 years old, pitching in his first postseason game. Chris, put yourself in that situation. It's your first postseason game. The nerves are going to be through the roof. If you're going to struggle in that game, which you're probably going to, it's going to be as soon as it starts.
It's going to be early. You're going to make them early.
Which is exactly what happened. Like, you could tell he was overthrowing his fastball. So you're not getting the best out of Davey Garcia. That's not it. The first inning is not going to be his best inning.
Yeah, but once you get hit in the mouth, like in a football game, once you get hit in the mouth, you settle down and you get into a groove.
Exactly.
And you were hoping that after that first inning, after he gave up that solo home run to a Rosarena, maybe he could have settled down and just get back to basics.
But why would you think?
Because I mean, the kid has shown that he can give you length.
Exactly.
Like he's had never three or four starts where he's given you 7 innings plus. So I mean, you know that he can give you length if he settles down. So the hope would be get past the first inning, you see where it goes. But you could just see the kid hanging out from the dugout, man, and he was disappointed.
But he knew it.
Like, you could see he wanted to be out there. Like, if he was going to start the game, give him a chance and see what he's capable of doing. But that wasn't what the plan was. They didn't trust that. But I don't understand why you don't trust Garcia, but you're going to opt to put in a guy that you don't trust in Jay Happ that has to have everything absolutely perfect in order for you to justify putting him into the game. That's the part that doesn't make sense. Like, if a guy has to have everything absolutely perfect for you to then think about putting him in the game, then why are you even considering playing him at all? Especially if you're in a situation where you absolutely don't have to.
Yeah.
And that's what the case was last night with the Yankees. You didn't absolutely have to pitch Jay Happ in game two. So if you didn't feel comfortable with him pitching in a series, period, but you knew you were going to have to use him, why not wait until the last possible moment and put it off to game four?
Or a less pressure-packed moment. Right? You know, you're down 5-2. All right, you know what? We're not going to win this game. Let's get Happ in there. We need to eat innings.
Let him eat innings
through all these innings
out of the bullpen.
No, but you need Happ to pitch, Dave.
Oh, okay. I mean, then you know what? Maybe game four, up 2-1. Game four, 3-3 in the third. Maybe you put him in there. Like it didn't have to be last night. It felt like you overplayed your hand.
No, they had to pitch him.
Didn't have to be last night.
Well, it didn't have to be. I mean, at some point during the series, and now what you also did is you backed yourself into a corner. Now Garrett Cole has to pitch game five.
Yes.
Regardless of how he feels. He's got to pitch game five if he makes it to a game five. And he's never pitched on short rest before.
Yeah. This is what you are now. All right. People are clamoring. They're desperate to get involved with the conversation. Let's do it. 800-919-3776. Jason in Jersey, lead us off, Jay. I'm sure you're upset about the Yankees last night. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
I am a little bit upset about the media. I guess that's you, Dave, because Rick and Chris are athletes, so I respect them a little bit more.
Oh, give me a break. Give me a break.
Dave,
so I can't have an opinion.
Dave played high-level tennis at 8. Stop.
Let me go to my next point.
Why is your opinion better than my opinion?
It's not. What I'm saying is if this works, you guys are saying today how great and smart Boone and Cashman were for doing it. Jay Happ was set up to do his job, like Chris said. We don't need to, what do we need to put flowers out there? What do we got to do for you, dude? That's your job, go out and do it. And he didn't do it. It was a good idea.
His job is to start games. His job, timeout. Jay Happ, his job is to start baseball games. And he told his manager that that's what he felt most comfortable doing. So if you trust him to pitch from the second on, then you should trust him from the first inning.
2020, 2019, we're seeing pitchers come in at all different angles.
He's not used to doing it. He doesn't feel comfortable doing it. I get he needs to go out and perform, but if you already don't trust him, at least put him in a situation where he feels comfortable. And if you want to have a quick hook, then get a quick hook. It did nothing for you. It did nothing for you. Kevin Cash didn't blink. He did not blink when you made the move.
Why would he?
You did him a favor. Is what you did,
couch guys. Like it didn't work out. It wasn't a terrible idea.
It was a terrible idea.
It was,
Jason. You never played the game, so you can't really understand. And thanks for the call. It was a terrible idea. It was ridiculous from the start.
I understood the thinking behind the idea. I didn't think you needed to do it after winning Game One in the fashion that you won Game One. What we've seen over the first three games of this postseason, offensively from the Yankees, I don't think that you needed to get this cute in game two.
No, you didn't absolutely have to do this, Rick. You didn't. And that's what makes it one of those moves that if it works out, you're the hero. If it doesn't work out, you're a jerk. Like, that's just one of those things. Like, this is one of those decisions that you say, oh, if you work out, Brian Cashman's a genius. Aaron Boone is pushing all the right buttons. Yeah, if it doesn't work out, then people are going to look at this as the pivot point and say, we got to blame Brian Cashman and Aaron Boone for putting the Yankees behind the eight ball and letting the Rays back in the series. That's how these decisions work out. That's how they're evaluated. If it works, it's good. If it doesn't, you're the GOAT, and not in a good way. So, I mean, it's just – it didn't have to happen last night. That's the thing that I keep coming back to. You didn't have to use this strategy last night. Go with your best pitcher that's available, which was Tanaka, and then see what would happen with that game and see how the rest of the series unfold. But to think because you're up one game that you're playing with house money, that's just the wrong kind of logic when you're talking about a postseason series. To me, you try to win as many games as you can, as quickly as you can, and move on.
Too cute. Couldn't agree
more.
Yeah,
but I don't. But here's the other thing, though. I don't understand what matchups. Kevin Cash was going to go to his platoon matchups probably more in the middle to late innings of that game. You'd imagine, right? Like that's when he would start making adjustments.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
So you wanted to start the righty. So they went heavy lefty. Then you bring in the lefty because now all of a sudden you like those matchups lefty on lefty. So now if you're Kevin Cash, okay, I'm going to adjust. Right? I'm going to use some righties. Now you got – but you're using up matchups. For what reason? You still have – the lefties in the back of your bullpen are dominant. You're worried about matchups with Britton and Chapman?
No. Late in that game? And you hadn't used Chapman the night before. So you had a completely rested Chapman who hasn't pitched in days and days.
Like, I have no problem going with Tanaka in game three. 1, 3, and 5, those are the games. That's fine. But you didn't give either guy the opportunity to actually have success last night, in my opinion. Like, Davey Garcia is not an opener. Like, you're trying to be sneaky, like, oh, you know, if we have Chad Green start the game, they'll know that he's only going to pitch an inning, so they won't have a heavy lefty lineup. But they didn't make adjustments after Davey Garcia left anyway.
It's a bad job. Get too cute. You think they had no idea? They weren't fazed by that.
They had to. You're talking about one of the smartest teams in Major League Baseball. That was a thought. I'm sure if Kay said it yesterday on his show.
You had no idea. Come on. I'm sure they weren't fazed by that in the least. They didn't look fazed by it for sure. They hit two home runs, bomb home runs off him.
Yeah, but he's not. He's not a daunting lefty either.
No.
I don't get it.
Now you're texting
I think you did him a favor. I agree with you.
I
would have been more concerned about
David
Garcia.
They overplayed their hand. Now you're texting me. Is this true? We have K coming up at 9:30.
Oh yeah, baby.
Oh, how about that? Look at you. You're producing the show. You're hosting the show.
Yeah, I'm in Paris as we speak. I'm doing the show live from Paris.
That's right.
The show.
I made a fake Eiffel Tower and everything.
You guys are not talking French accents today, are you?
No. Milo's just learning French. My parents, for some reason, decided that I should take Latin in school because that makes sense.
Latin.
Because it'll help you on your SAT. Oh, by the way, I didn't even... Turns out when you're really good at a sport, the SAT doesn't matter that much. So I can speak a little bit of Latin, which does me no good.
No good.
No. When I do mass, though, when I do marry people, I do sprinkle in some Latin.
Oh, do you?
I was about to say, who speaks Latin?
Yeah. And I'm gonna
Nobody speaks Latin. Nobody speaks Latin.
Who speaks Latin?
Nobody.
No.
Nobody.
No.
No, you can go to Latin masses. Like, you can go to a Latin mass if you want.
So if you went to a Latin mass, would you understand what was going on?
I could do some of it. I can do the prayers. I can do the Our Father. I can do in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. I can do some of that stuff. But
all right, so you got a little bit of that.
Yeah, but our Latin teacher, for some reason, thought it was a good idea. Like, part of the test was you'd have to translate a passage from Latin into English. And then if you didn't finish in class because it was a hard class, like, you could do it after school as if we're not going to take the books and study exactly the passage and go back and do it. It's ridiculous. Very nice.
We bring in, the voice, right? The voice of the station, the voice of the Yankees, the great Mr. Michael Kay. Good morning, Michael. How are you?
Good, guys. How you doing?
We're doing okay. We're a little puzzled at what the Yankees did last night, and you certainly have a lot of insight into this baseball team. Do you understand what the rationale was, why they went ahead and took Garcia out and put Happ in inning number two?
Well, I understand why they did it. I think it was a terrible, terrible decision. Throughout the night last night after the game was over and this morning, I've been receiving people, texts from people around Major League Baseball to a person. They are just baffled why they did it. They did it because they were trying to be the smartest people in the room. And what they did was they started Garcia and they figured that because they were starting a right-hander that had the possibility to go seven innings, that the Rays would load their lineup with lefties. And the Rays did indeed start five left-handers. So then they brought in Happ, figuring that the Rays were going to flip their lineup and use the righties up the bench to go up against Happ. Kevin Cash never blinked. He never did that. Because the reason being is that Happ is not a matchup lefty where he's going to just neutralize lefties. He's a good pitcher that can get anybody out. It was just trying too hard. And, people keep bringing up the fact, well, you know, a lot of teams use openers. Yeah, when they're desperate and they don't have a starter. The Yankees have plenty of starters. They have five starters lined up for this series, and four if you want to include and say, okay, we're going to pitch Gerrit Cole on short rest. It made no sense to me. Again, I'm explaining to you why they did it. They should not have done it. They outthought themselves. And as I said on the post game last night, if they end up losing the series, they're going to point to what they did yesterday, and that's going to be the reason why, because you let the Rays back in the series.
Michael, I understand, you know, why they did it. And again, I mean, if Jay Happ comes in and he executes, you know, maybe they look like geniuses. But I mean, the second you sit down with Jay Happ, and the relationship has been contentious for the entirety of the season with, you know, his option and innings pitch and everything else, the second he tells you he doesn't feel comfortable doing it, isn't that when you decide maybe you should pull the plug on it?
In retrospect, it looks that way. And then if you heard what he said after the game, you could see he didn't buy in. And the reason that the opener worked all those years with the Rays, and the Rays started the opener because they didn't have starters. They were trying to piece together 27 outs to win a game, is that everybody bought in. Every single person bought in. You could see Jay Happ didn't buy in. He's 37 years old. Yeah, I know he's had about 36 relief appearances in his life. He's 37 years old. He's a starter. You're bringing him in the middle of an inning. And please, the one thing that people keep saying, well, the reason they took out Garcia is because, you know, he gave up the home run and threw 27 pitches. That's nonsense. Jay Happ was warming up two batters into the game. That was the plan. This was a computer-generated plan, what to do, how to do it. We're taking out Garcia after one inning because we want the Rays to flip their lineup. The Rays never flip their lineup, and the Yankees just have egg on their faces today. They just do. Sometimes you shouldn't try to be the smartest guy in the room. And here's another thing, Rick, that just gets me. Why are you planning for the Rays lineup as if it's, oh, I don't know, the Yankees lineup? The Rays have a moderate to effective offensive lineup. They're not scary. So what are you moving heaven and earth to match up with them and match up with Kevin Cash and get lanes for your relief pitchers? That's what they're doing. I mean, that's the big word in Yankee front office. We have to get lanes for pitchers where nobody could pinch hit, and we know we could bring in Ottavino and get three straight righties. Please, your lineup is so good that you'll be able to score enough runs, and any pitcher the Yankees have in their starting staff could actually battle and stop the Tampa Bay Rays. But instead of giving Happ a chance where he's comfortable and let him start the game, they bring him in the second inning, and it's just, again, people throughout Major League Baseball are texting me, why did they do that? Why did they do that? They didn't have to do that. And I wonder if the Yankees feel that they did something wrong now in retrospect.
So, Case, the Tanaka's going to go tonight. Game four is going to be an elimination game. Any idea on what the plan is for the starting pitcher with that game?
You know what? That's one of the points that really makes me scratch my head. And when I make this point, I don't mean it in a pejorative way toward Jordan Montgomery, but you're now sending Jordan Montgomery, your fifth starter, you're sending him out to either send your team to the ALCS or stop your team from going home. That's the plan, Jordan Montgomery. Obviously, if it's an elimination game, if Tanaka loses tonight, if it becomes an elimination game, Chris, they'll start Jordan Montgomery, and then they'll just use everybody out of the bullpen. But, you know, why put yourself in that situation? You were lined up. Start Jay Happ yesterday or start Tanaka yesterday. Then start Jay Happ today. Then you've got Jordan Montgomery or Davey Garcia, and then you could come back with Gerrit Cole. But right now, you've got Jordan Montgomery, the only guy I could think lined up. And you know, some people are saying, well, Davey Garcia only threw 27 pitches, so maybe he could start. Well, he wasn't good enough to start yesterday and have a real start. You're going to start him in an elimination game at the age of 21 on what would be a throw day rather than well-rested. It just opened up so many problems by making that decision yesterday. I know you're a big Yankee fan, Chris. You probably were scratching your head when it was happening.
Yeah, I didn't know what they were doing, but, you know, I always trust Brian Cashman, but this is one of those situations, Kaster, where it's just like you got too smart for your own good. You got too cute for your own good.
And a big problem, though, guys, you're trying to be the smartest guy in the room when the other guy in the room is pretty damn smart. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Tampa Bay Rays have a $28 million payroll, and they have the best record in the American League, and you're trying to outsmart them. I'm not saying that you can't, but you're going brain-to-brain with Albert Einstein. Well, why do that? You're a superior team physically. Just go beat them. Take your players. Our players are better than yours. We're not going to go overthink it, and we'll go out and we'll beat you. But instead, they tried to outthink them, and it blew up.
Yeah.
Jason, let me ask you this one question. I mean, we're talking about this decision, and I guess the Yankees are framing it as being collaborative between Aaron Boone and Brian Cashman, but this is really a Brian Cashman decision, right?
You know, everybody is blaming Boone on Twitter, and it's a real tightrope to walk because you don't want to insult Aaron Boone, who's a real good baseball man. But one of the rules of engagement in being a manager in baseball is that you have to engage with your front office. This was a collaborative decision where they all sat down with the computer readouts, with the iPad. What are we going to do today? Let's be smart. Let's outsmart them. This was not Aaron Boone sitting there in the middle of the night, springing up and like writing on a scratch pad, I'm going to do this because this is, I think, cool. No. These are heavily thought out decisions where really, really smart people get together and try to outsmart other people. So I don't know if it's Cashman's per se, Chris, but it is a front office driven decision for sure. I think that they give Aaron Boone all the information that he could possibly have and expect him to employ it in the right way. But when it comes to who's going to start a game, I think that's an organizational decision.
Michael Kay with us here, 98.7 ESPN. I really hate to blame officiating or umpires or referees. I'm not a fan of that. But, I mean, C.B. Buckner last night, Michael, some of these calls, it's just it's hard to fathom how he's making some of these calls. The LeMahieu strike three was way outside. There was one to Torres. I thought there was one to Frazier. It's like, what do you say? If you're the Yankees, you just grin and bear it? I mean, you got to be furious about some of these calls from last night.
You have to be furious. I'd be furious at Major League Baseball more so than C.B. Buckner. To me, it's like telling the heavyset kid in second grade, go climb the rope. You can't climb the rope. He's not a good umpire behind the plate. And I would be furious. And the Yankees don't have any kick coming because the Rays didn't have a good strike zone either. Now, the Yankees ended up striking out 18 times, so it really manifested itself that they had a lot of swing and misses and a lot of looks. But I said this yesterday after the game, Dave. I don't understand it. I don't understand how Major League Baseball sends out guys like C.B. Buckner and Angel Hernandez to umpire high-profile, biggest stage of the year games behind home plate. These guys, this is not Michael Kay sitting back and saying, gee, I don't like that strike zone. No. These guys grade out poorly all the time on balls and strikes. And Major League Baseball is putting them behind the plate in playoff games that are nationally televised where a team season could be on the line. It doesn't make sense. Consider the fact that Angel Hernandez is working a playoff series. He's suing Major League Baseball. And they're putting him behind the plate, and C.B. Buckner is historically known as a terrible ball and strike umpire. And in a best-of-five series, guys, if you really have to use C.B. Buckner and Angel Hernandez, well, and start them in right field, then they never get behind the plate in any of the games because there's six umpires in five games. Why are you putting him behind the plate in game two of a best-of-five? It doesn't make sense.
I would have taken Enrico Palazzo last night.
At least he would have made it look good.
Exactly, yeah, right. Fun. It would have been a good show, too. Michael Kay joins us here on the show. Michael, and I get they're infatuated with Gary Sanchez. I think Gary Sanchez is uber talented, hasn't had a great season. I mean, we've seen rare occasions, and we saw it in Boston. We saw it in the Cleveland series. He can run into one. But he clearly was struggling with the fastball last night. I mean, why is Mike Ford on the roster if you don't consider pinch hitting for Gary Sanchez in that spot?
Well, I think Mike Ford is on the roster to pinch hit maybe for Higashioka. I think that they would feel very hinky about pinch hitting for Sanchez because he's in there to hit. You know, Higashioka is in there to be the defender behind the plate. So if you do have to pinch hit for him, then you could send up Ford. That's probably why the reason he's in there. And also maybe, you know, an injury to Voit, who has a pretty bad foot. But I've always been a proponent, and I said that they should have started Sanchez yesterday, and I believe that they should start him today against Morton because Morton does not have the overpowering fastball, but it did come to me yesterday just watching him, and I've watched him all year, Rick. He can't get around on a high fastball. Sometimes he'll run into one, but he is overpowered by a fastball with hair on it. He just is, and yesterday he had no chance against the guys that came in for the Rays and against Glasnow. So I don't know if you can continue to run him out there and hope that he's going to straighten it out, especially as the games dwindle down and they gain importance because, you know, tonight if you lose, you're up against, finishing your season tomorrow. So, yeah, I would start him today against Morton because he doesn't have the fastball to overpower him. But following that, the next time they face a really hard-throwing pitcher, even if Gerrit Cole's not starting, I think they have to seriously consider not starting Gary, because this is one of those seasons that you could chalk up and go, it's not going to happen for him. 147, and you know, forget about numbers. Sometimes, you know, the Yankees should forget about numbers, forget about the, you know, the computer printout, and say, okay, what did my eyes just tell me there? And my eyes had to tell me that Gary Sanchez didn't have a chance last night. He just didn't. He didn't come close to any of those fastballs. And, you know, maybe you take a deep breath and you reconvene during the offseason and go, what do we do with Gary? Is he the catcher moving forward? But right now, you've got to put your best lineup out there, and you've got to win a game. It'll be interesting to see what they do tonight. Again, I would start Sanchez tonight. He works pretty well with Tanaka. Morton doesn't have the sort of stuff that would overpower him. But after that, it becomes a really tough call for the Yanks.
Michael, as you know, Stanton made a little bit of history last night. He hit a home run in the fourth inning, and I'm not sure if that ball has landed yet. But I guess when you look at him, you know, five home runs in four games. He's the third Yankee to hit at least four home runs over a four-game postseason stretch. What are the Yankees saying about this hot streak that he's on? Is it as simple as him just being healthy now?
I think that's it. I mean, this is the guy they thought they traded for. And remember, when they traded for him, he was coming off a 59 home run, you know, MVP season. This guy can play when he's healthy. We have not really seen the completely healthy version. You know, the first year he was there, the Yankees had a lot of injuries, and I think he had 38 home runs and 100 ribbies, and he wasn't healthy. I mean, his legs were bad, and he was just going out there every single day because the Yankees didn't have enough players. So he showed them their toughness, the toughness they thought he had, and the grittiness to actually play through being hurt. But the last couple of years, they have not been able to get him in the lineup because he's always hurt. But this time, I think he's okay. And when he's okay, you can't argue the skill set. The skill set is there. That second ball, I mean, I trust StatCast and everything, but I thought that was way farther than 458 feet. I thought that was closer to 500 feet. That was just a blast off his bat. It was unbelievable. And he's a special talent when he's healthy. But you know, as you know, Chris, one of the best abilities is availability, and he has not had that the last couple of years, but he has that now.
All right, Michael. Well, I mean,
Time out. I have one more question.
Just keep him all the way through.
Yeah, I would like to keep him for the entire show if we could. I mean,
anything for you, Rick. You know that.
Thank you.
You're number one.
This relationship between the two of you is uncomfortable.
Well, stop it. Yeah, because I like
it's uncomfortable. I mean, it's fine. I mean, it's sweet, but
we don't. Well, you know what? We don't care what other people think. We care what
obvious,
we think.
That's obvious that you don't.
It's all that matters.
Go ahead, Rick.
Yeah, Michael, any concern at all with Aaron Judge at the moment?
Not really. He didn't have a great game yesterday, and I believe he has two hits in the four games, and they're both home runs. I still think he's working himself into getting his swing down. He was out for a really, really, really long time. I don't have concern because I think sometimes he does put good swings on it. And yesterday, I think he was victimized a bit by that strike zone,
yep.
Just a bit. So, yeah, I'm not concerned about him. And really, if Aaron Judge doesn't straighten himself out, I always look at him as a linchpin of that lineup. Everything else plays off of Aaron Judge and DJ LeMahieu. So if he's not going to hit, then they don't have a chance anyway.
You got more? Can we?
No, that's it.
You sure?
No, that's it. That's all I got. I mean, no, because I don't want you to get jealous. I mean,
why are you so jealous, Dave?
It's unbelievable.
Jealous.
Yeah,
I'm not
it
jealous.
Sounds like
I mean,
you are.
You've made the statement clearly that you're not a fan of mine, and that's fine.
No. See, you're wrong. I said if the list had gone to five, you had a chance.
No, I don't want to be. I don't have a chance if it goes to five. It went four.
Right.
And I was.
And
even
as
a
Don
thought.
Says in all of his quizzes that he does, who are you taking out?
Please.
Who are you taking out?
What was your four?
It was Rick. It was Larry Hardesty.
You don't even know.
Carlin
you don't even remember.
You had
who?
Carlin in there. You had Carlin.
Carlin.
There.
Carlin was two. Yeah, Carlin was two. Larry Hardesty. Then I had a real battle with, you know, Canty and who was the one who ended up? Oh, Alan Hahn.
So Hahn was four.
Yeah. So who am I taking out?
Any of them.
Well,
any of them.
Time out.
Outside of Rick. Outside Thank of Rick. Because obviously you guys have a very strange and uncomfortable relationship. But outside of Rick,
why,
any of those other
Why is it
out.
Strange and uncomfortable? I like Michael and Michael likes me.
It's strange for adult men to have this
But it's a beautiful relationship.
No,
the fact that Don brings up, oh, he He doesn't even like hockey. He didn't know you when he. That makes the relationship better. The fact that he didn't know that I played hockey doesn't.
I'm not
like
saying
hockey,
it's
he still
not legitimate.
Likes me.
I'm just saying it's a little uncomfortable and strange. That's all I'm saying.
No, but it's not uncomfortable and a little strange.
If people walk around the station when we're around the station and they're very taken aback and uncomfortable with the relationship.
But it's not weird that a grown man would throw a treadmill through a window because a New York football team is losing. This is strange, but that's not.
It did not go through the window. It hit the window and then came back in. And
you know what? But that's not odd.
I'm not the picture. You're going to compare me to the picture of normalcy? I'm not saying that, but it makes me introspective.
You know what's strange is that Dave actually has a treadmill.
Well, you have to have somewhere to hang the clothes.
We can laugh. I look better than all of you. All of you. I look unbelievable.
Yeah, but see, we were talking about this on the show. It's been a long time since we've all seen each other. Have you really kept the weight off? Come on, let's all be
honest with each other. Yeah. I weighed in this morning. When last you saw me at the bar mitzvah, 198. Yeah. This morning, 204.3.
Well, that's called creeping up in the business.
No, it's not creeping. It's fine. It's fine. All right, we're the show's off the rails. It doesn't surprise me. Do you guys need to have a special goodbye, or can we just go, Michael?
No, you know what? We'll communicate with each other off the air. We don't have to make a big spectacle of this.
All right. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you, bud.
Goodbye.
Thanks. That, of course, is Michael Kay in a creepy somewhat spot. 98.7. Yeah. Crazy wild times. There's one thing, Rick, one thing that you can always count on to bring your spirits up. You know what that is?
There is one thing that, no idea.
Andy and Merrick.
Yeah, I was going to say the New York Jets.
Or, yes, right. That's number two. Andy and Merrick. Good morning, Andy. How are you?
Good morning, DCR. Dave, you gave the tease. It's Wednesday. It's a hockey day. And while you might not realize it, yesterday was the 57th annual NHL draft.
Right.
So we have four NHL draft questions.
Oh,
not
terrific.
Hard. Not hard, but Rick's got to get his thinking cap on.
All right, here we go.
Starting with, in the Islanders' history, they've had the number one overall pick four times. I want you to name all four guys.
All four number one picks. We had myself.
Save DiPietro.
We had Tavares.
Two.
Who else do we have? We had... Was Berard a number one overall
pick? No, not as an Islander.
Oh, not as an Islander. You're correct.
Potvin, no?
Potvin, yes. And in 1972, their first ever pick was?
Billy Harris.
Bang! One
wow,
for
Dave,
one.
Look at you.
Right.
Yeah, I would have known. I wouldn't have known Billy Harris.
That's not impressive. Just pretty. I'm here for substance.
So the Boston Bruins have had the number one overall pick three times in total. Most recently in 1997. Name him.
Joe Thornton.
Joe Thornton is
Jumbo
correct.
Jumbo Joe.
Jumbo Joe is right. Two for two. All right. The first ever American-born player to be drafted number one overall was in 1983. Can you name him?
Brian Lawton, Minnesota yep. North Stars.
NHL Network's Brian Lawton. And finally... In the 57-year history of the NHL draft, the Chicago Blackhawks have had only one number one overall pick. Who is he?
Oh, was
it Kane?
Wasn't it Kane?
It is Kane, and you guys are able. Fellas, let's be careful out there and stay healthy, boys.
Oh, he set you are a treat. Up.
God, he's good.
He's a treat, huh?
It's almost like you coach him. Like you occasionally walk down into the basement and coach Andy up.
Well, I got to make sure he's bringing a high-level game, right?
I mean, he purposely left that for the last. No one we would get it, so he could throw in and you guys are able.
Oh,
I mean,
it's so terrific. Well done. He's a bright man. All right, so we had a feeling this was going to come at some point. I didn't realize so soon. Dwayne Haskins benched by the Washington football team. Kyle Allen will be there starting.
That's a dumb decision.
Don't bury the lead. He didn't just get benched.
He got supplanted by Alex Smith and Kyle Allen.
Right. So you might not see him the remainder of the year. You might never
which
see him again.
Which is stupid because the kid only has 11 starts and
it's
he's
ridiculous.
In his second year. It's
Can
ridiculous.
We at least get to the end of the season and know that he stinks?
That's what I would have done. I don't understand it. That
You're
makes
not
no
going
sense.
Anywhere anyhow. It's not like this saves the season.
But, Dave, that's why they're a dysfunctional organization. They make decisions that make no sense. Kind of like what the Jets did with Sam Darnold after he separates his shoulder against the Broncos. They let him come back in the game, but they're going to bench him and not play him 10 days later when they got a home game against the Cardinals. It's kind of like that.
Yeah, it's not too dissimilar. I would agree. Bad.
What if they're benching him? I mean, they just weighing
him. He's hurt.
Well, no, he's hurt. They said he couldn't do further damage. But now they have to decide, do we give him time to heal up, or is this something that we let him play through for the entire season?
No, Rick, I don't want you to mistake what I was saying. I'm not saying they were benching Sam Darnold. What I'm saying is dysfunctional organizations make stupid decisions, like letting Sam Darnold go back in the game on Thursday night with a separated
or
shoulder.
Or playing Mekhi Becton at all during that game.
That was my point.
Mind-numbing
I actually like the fact that he came back into that game, to be honest.
It's a tough kid.
No, I want the kid to want to play, but I mean, I don't need the organization to let the kid go back into the game. For what? He's got a separated shoulder. If he's not healthy enough to play 10 days later, then why'd you let him play that night?
What the Jets do. So this was my, and Rick, when you played in the NHL, I mean, this is like the pregame anthem across every arena, right? Right now, by Van Halen?
Yeah, this is one of them, yeah.
Right? So I bought the CD of that. The day, like, I first heard that, I remember sitting in my driveway listening to that song and being like, this is the greatest song I've ever heard. The first time I heard it. I bought the CD, and I played it so many times, I broke the CD.
That's, I mean, that may be a little excessive.
I love that song. I love that album.
It's a great album.
It's a great album.
What was my first CD? My first CD was, I somehow talked my parents into buying me a Naughty by Nature CD. Was my first CD.
That would be your first CD.
I mean, this surprises no one.
That would be
this
your first one.
No one. How old were you? Really? Like nine?
I was young. Young.
You were nine.
Like, I don't know. Find out when that first with OPP, One Mother Bleep or Two Mother Bleep, when that CD first came out is when I got it, like the week it came out.
Had was it like it. A debate with the parents of should we get him for this or should we not?
No, Mickey had no idea that it was like parental advice. She had no idea. Like, she didn't even pay attention until she heard the lyrics. And she's like, who bought you that? I was like, you just bought me that.
So she got angry that someone bought it for you, and she's the person that bought it for you?
Yeah, exactly right. How disappointed when you saw her get kicked off of Masked Singer? Were you upset?
I don't even follow that.
Cheryl got kicked off. First one off.
Who did?
Cheryl, Mickey. Oh, see you later.
Mickey Rourke got. I didn't know Mickey Rourke was on the show.
Oh yeah, he took himself out. He just pulled his own mask. They didn't even vote. He just pulled his. He was hot in the mask, so he just pulled.
91. How old were you in 1991?
10.
It's like 10. So they bought you. Yeah.
And it turns out I actually, as I got older, I went to visit Such when Such was at college. I got to see Naughty by Nature at Such's bougie college.
Really?
Perform was awesome.
What bougie college did he go to?
He went to Trinity.
Oh, yeah, that is bougie.
Yeah, very bougie.
Very, very bougie. All right, 800-919-3776. Guys, NFL, real concerns. Two more Titans test positive today. Their game against the Bills is now very much in question. Stephon Gilmore test positive. A Raiders player test positive. So, real concern in the NFL. We'll get to that in a couple minutes. But the Yankee fans, they want to talk, and we're here for them. Let's go to Xavier in Schenectady. Xavier, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? How's it going this morning?
Good. How are you?
Pretty good. Rick, happy birthday to your daughter as well.
Thank you, my man.
Listen, I just want to say something real quick, and then I'll let you guys speak about it. As far as the Yankees are concerned, man, I know you guys remember in the 90s when Derek Jeter was there, there was more than one leader. You had Bernie, you had Paul, you had guys who would step up, and you trusted in these guys to step up, even though they weren't Jeter. Last night, that game, I don't understand, like, fully why Tanaka is slotted for game three. But the amount of money that he makes and his longevity on the Yankees and his history of good postseason play. I know his last game, he didn't do that well when he was out. But his history is that he's a great postseason pitcher. Why would he not demand that ball in game two, have the Yankees go up 2-0, and then if you want to get cute in game three with Hap?
Because that's not who he is. Because that's not who he is. And there's no guarantee Tanaka's going to win. I mean, in a five-game series, it's 1-3-5. Those are the most important games.
Guys, is he not the best? And do you trust him more than you trust Garcia and you trust...
Yes, sir. That's why you pitch him in game three.
But why?
Because if you do lose game two, you feel better about in the swing game having Tanaka being your starter. It hurts the Yankees that James Paxton is out. I mean, that's a big loss.
Yeah.
And they went. That's not who Tanaka is. He's not going to go into Aaron Boone. First of all, it's a decision made by the GM in collaboration. And by collaboration, I mean that Aaron Boone sits there and listens to what Brian Cashman is telling.
You're putting
him
in air quotes. Said. Collaboration is in air quotes.
This is what we're going to do.
It's like when me and Dave have conversations with our wives. It's not a. They want to say it's collab. It's not. They're telling us what we should do, and we say, absolutely, honey. That's exactly what we're going to do. That's what that was.
But that, Xavier, thanks for the call. That's not going to work. Tanaka's not going to walk into the you know, locker room and be like, all right, coach, give me the ball, game two. I need this. That's not going to work.
I'm still with that last caller, though. I would have pitched Tanaka in game two. We'll figure out game three when we get to it. I would have pitched Tanaka. That's the way I would have went. Like, I don't want to take any chances with the Rays. Like, if I get a chance to put my foot on their throat and go up 2-0 in that series, then, yeah, that's exactly what I'm going to do. And if you don't have those blow-up innings from Happ in the second and third, then you're talking about the Yankees having a lead through the first four innings of that game, if it all played out the same way.
They loved this plan. When they announced
How does it look in hindsight? It looks terrible.
It looked awful at the time. It was a ridiculous plan. They might have thought it was great, but you heard Michael say he got a million texts and calls, and people were dumbfounded at this decision.
Oh, because it made no sense. It wasn't like when Aaron Boone after the game was trying to say it was fluid. It wasn't fluid. It wasn't if Davey Garcia got through the first inning in 9 pitches that he was going to pitch the second inning. Jay Happ was warming up like he was going to go into the game in the second inning.
Because he was. That was the plan beforehand. If he got through on 3 pitches, pop up, ground out, pop up, he would have come out of the game. He was not going in for inning number 2. It makes no sense. Neil in the Bronx. Neil, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, morning, Dave. Morning, Chris. Here's my
Well, how about, hang on. How about Rick?
No, that's okay. I understand. That's okay. That's fine.
Here's my thought on their decision on what they did last night with the pitching. And here it goes. The last 3 playoff games, the Yankees' bats, they were on fire. So they was probably expecting for them to come on fire last night, and they, except for Stanton, they didn't. And Happ, you guys are being a little too hard on Happ. It wasn't like if he was being blown away.
What?
The Yankees had a lot of opportunities to close this game out, and the Yankee lineup is what let the Yankees down.
They scored 5 runs, Neil. Neil, they scored 5 runs. Lineup. 5. Hang on a second. I'm gonna give you Happ's stat line. Maybe you're unfamiliar with what he did. No. Hang on a second. He went 2 2/3. He went 2 2/3. He went 2 2/3. 5 hits, 3 walks, 4 runs, all earned, 2 home runs. Tell me again how Happ pitched pretty well last night.
I say he pitched pretty well, but he kept them in the game. It wasn't like he
timeout.
Oh my god!
Stanton kept them in the game.
Timeout for a quick second. So what you've done now in making the decision that you made in game two is for 2 2/3 innings have now lost Happ for the entire season. He's done. Happ will know he's done. He's not going to pitch anymore. And then, apparently, I mean, Davey Garcia is available for game 4. If that's you're going to have to piece that together with him and Jordan Montgomery, if that's the case. But if you're going to sit here and tell me that the reason you made this decision is because the Yankees' bats have been so good over the first 3 games, is exactly why you don't need to make this decision.
Right. You got too cute.
Yep.
All you needed was a mediocre start. If Garcia would have given you 5 1/3, a 4-run ball, you probably win this game.
You didn't even give him the opportunity to prove that he could pitch.
Nope.
He was going to be nervous in the first inning. That's almost a given. That at 21 years old in your first start, there's going to be some nerves.
But he didn't do anything, Rick, that you looked at. You're like, oh my god.
No.
Like he allowed a home run to a guy that's been red hot,
Dave. But in the way that at bat was called by CB was embarrassing. I mean, he's awful. We all know that. But if you would have asked me before this game, Rick, Davey Garcia's pitching tonight. He's going to give me 6 innings. Which inning will he have the toughest, which will be his toughest? I would say the first inning is going to be his toughest inning to get through because the nerves are going to be crazy. And once he settles in and gets through that, you'll see a more comfortable, better version of Davey Garcia. You didn't give him that opportunity. That wasn't going to be, I can promise you, that wasn't going to be the best inning that he pitched in that game if you gave him the opportunity to continue.
And it wasn't
pitching bad. No, it wasn't bad. I thought he was fine.
Yeah.
I mean, he touched 95 a couple times. So, I mean, the velocity was on the fastball. He wasn't locating it great, but his secondary stuff was good. And I'm telling you right now, if I'm one of the Rays, I don't care left, right, or whatever it is, I would rather see Jay Happ than Davey. I think Davey Garcia's got much better stuff than Jay Happ does. And I don't care which side of the plate I hit from.
Yeah,
Jay Happ does not scare me at all.
They overplayed their hand, is what they did. Dempsey in the Bronx, our guy. What's up, Dempsey? You're on 98.7.
Good morning, DCR. I completely agree with you, Rick, and what you said earlier. Like, if Happ
Hap came in the game and pitched well and it wasn't a blow up, you know, Yankees would have been geniuses and all that other stuff. So it's like, Canty's the only Yankee fan here, but what can we do but not trust the Yankees and trust what they're going to do? They're going to make mistakes, but all in all, they make a lot of good moves. So I'm just going to sit here and trust. But we're going
to. Yeah, but that wasn't. But the point is, that wasn't. But the point was, that wasn't a move where you had to get cute. Like, Kate was on and he said it a couple of different times, and we all agree with him. The reason why Tampa came up with the strategy of having an opener is because they don't have options as far as starting pitching was concerned. It was out of necessity. There was no necessity for the Yankees to do that yesterday.
Well, I said it on Carlin last night. I agreed with you as well. I thought it was the best decision to put Davey Garcia in game two for the soft landing. But what was the point if you were going to put him in and pretty much almost ruin him for the entire series for one inning? That's just silly. And then also ruining Hap. But we have to just move forward. The game is over. We have three more games and three more nights. We have to worry about game three. Let's move on. I believe in Tanaka, and I think he's going to give us a good show tonight. You know what I mean? Like, we have to have faith in it. So let's move on.
I think everyone believes in Tanaka. Yeah, I don't think that's an issue. I think we all believe in Tanaka. I just don't understand why, under those circumstances, after your one game won, you decided to leave yourself open to all this criticism by making a decision like that, especially the way that Jay Happ reacted after the game. Like, if he was that uncomfortable with the plan, I don't know if I can go with the plan then. Or I got to find someone else. If J-Hap's not comfortable, then I keep him to, you know what? We'll save him to game four if we need to play game four. I'll go with Garcia and Montgomery then. The guy's already on.
I don't think anybody would have had a problem with. I don't think anybody would have had a problem with that plan.
And he's not even on normal rest either. I mean, he's already been off. Like, I mean, this is a guy who's a creature of habit. And I don't want to make excuses for the guy. I mean, he's got to go out there. You pay him to go out there and perform. But, I mean, just the way he reacted after the game, he clearly was uncomfortable being in that spot.
Yeah. I wonder if when he expressed he was uncomfortable, they thought twice and said maybe we shouldn't put him in that position. Or if it was just, you know, tunnel vision, this is the best thing to do, and it doesn't matter what he thinks.
No, they were like, you know what, he might be uncomfortable now, but he'll thank us later because we'll get him through the first inning. He'll have all these lefties
right
in the lineup.
Right.
So he's
like,
going to love
like
it.
The parent, like, you'll thank us. You don't realize it now, but this will work out for you.
Yeah, he's going to love it.
Yeah, I don't know. All right, guys, we'll get back to the Yankees a little bit. Let's switch our attention to the NFL, and it's certainly not good news. I mean, you find out this morning Stephon Gilmore tests positive for COVID-19. And we didn't really talk about this a lot. We're so excited to see the Chiefs and the Patriots, even without Cam Newton. Chris, playing that game, in retrospect, seems very questionable, being that Cam Newton, your quarterback, tested positive for COVID on Saturday, and we know the incubation period. Then you play that game on Monday night? I mean, very questionable.
Yeah, I think it was a questionable decision by the NFL, and knowing that Stephon Gilmore tested positive for the virus today, I mean, clearly he was infected with the virus when he played on Monday night, so you're thinking about how many other guys could potentially be exposed to COVID-19 as a result of making the decision to play that game. But this is one of those things where the NFL is going to be headstrong, Dave. They're going to try to push through this thing no matter what. The players are resistant to going to a modified bubble and staying at the hotels and going from there to the practice facilities and nowhere else. And so you recognize that you were going to have some positive tests and guys were going to have to go on that COVID-19 list. But I don't think the NFL has any real solution to the issue. And now you're wondering what's going to happen to the schedule. Because, I mean, there are going to be some games that are in doubt. Like Tennessee, they didn't play their game against Pittsburgh, but their game this week against Buffalo is in question now. Because
they can't open the facility.
They had another guy test positive today. So, again, this is a big mess, and I don't know from a scheduling standpoint how the NFL is going to figure out the logistics of this problem.
They're going to be hard-pressed. I mean, I don't know. Again, they have to wait at least, what is it, 2 days? They have to have two consecutive days of no more positives?
Yes.
Yep.
Think of the teams that are affected now. So Tennessee continues to be affected. Two more guys actually tested positive this morning, so they can't open up their facility on a Wednesday, and they have a huge game against Buffalo on Sunday. You got New England now, Stephon Gilmore. A Raiders player test positive. I don't know if you saw the photo, Rick, of Stephon Gilmore almost being cheek to cheek with Pat Mahomes after the game. Like, this is really bad right now in the NFL.
Yeah, but that's why you're always a little bit skeptical, right? Like, you see this, no positive test today. Well, that's fine. I mean, what you need to realize is the incubation period is different with each one of these guys.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you could have, you know, five consecutive days where you're negative, and then all of a sudden day six and seven you start popping positive. Like, there's a reason why there's a certain amount of time we have to quarantine. because you could be carrying it and not test positive.
Right.
Yep.
But how could we have thought that they could play that Patriots game after on Saturday the leader of the team, the quarterback, tested positive?
Because
they thought they had it isolated to just one player.
Well, and the other thing, what you saw too is it didn't transmit to the Vikings. That Tennessee having it didn't affect the Vikings.
Yeah.
So maybe they figured even if someone for the Patriots has it, it didn't affect the team Tennessee was playing, so it won't affect Kansas City.
That's the part that'll be interesting to see, though, Rick. If in fact that you start seeing some guys from the Kansas City Chiefs pop positive,
that'd be terrible.
That to me would be okay, because now you have the possibility of transmission through competition. Like, we're just attributing to these positive tests being guys, you know, getting it by going about their day-to-day lives away from the practice facility, but that might not necessarily be the case. Like, we're saying, okay, the outbreak with Tennessee, that's an isolated incident. We're just seeing one-offs with the rest of these teams, but now with the Patriots, you know, Stephon Gilmore test positive. You had the Cam Newton positive test. They had another practice squad guy test positive yesterday. So, I mean, you're starting to wonder, okay, what's really going on here, and how can the NFL get this thing under control? And to me, I don't have an answer beyond making a decision to get the players in a modified bubble. They had a conference call between the owners, the coaches, the GMs on Monday, and they said that this is probably not going to be something that we're going to be able to get the union on board with. But if you're an NFL player, I mean, your season is at risk if you don't make the decision to try to do everything that you can, which includes, in my opinion, going into a hotel room and choosing to play the remainder of the season being between the hotel and the practice facility. That's just me. I don't know how else they do it, because you're seeing the second wave of COVID-19 starting to, you know, come throughout our country. Like, I don't know how the NFL players think they're going to be immune to that unless they isolate themselves.
Yeah, I don't even know if it's the second wave. It just feels like people just have starting to kind of just pretend like it's not around. And
It's going back up in 32 states. So the rate of infection is going back up in 32 states. So I don't know.
I understand that. But you're talking about, I mean, there's a handful of places, you know, that I got buddies who work in where he says wherever he goes, no one's wearing masks. All the different states, sports are starting up. You can't keep NFL players who get tested every single day from getting COVID-19. Yet you think you can send a bunch of kids to play sports and not have these kids test positive? Of course, the numbers are going to go up. They're going up in the NFL. They're going up in the NFL, and they're taking every single precaution necessary.
Right, right. But what do you do with the Titans now?
All I'm saying is the rate of infection is going up, and so the NFL has to do something to curtail that so it doesn't impact their entertainment product. And to me, outside of isolating the players, I don't know what else you do. I don't know how this thing, you know, how you put a lid on this thing, how you come up with a solution other than the players agreeing to go stay in hotels.
I think that's always been the solution. We said that from the beginning. That was the only way it was going to...
But they won't do it.
No. Well, because, you know, I mean, you're not just worried about you. You're worried about, I mean, people have kids going to school. You're worried about everyone else, too, in the house. Do all the right things you want. But once you're in your house, you have to make sure that everyone in your house is doing all the right things, too.
Right. Right.
Which isn't easy.
I mean, basically, we are reliant on everyone doing the right thing, and you can see that that's just not the case. That for all those that will, there's plenty that won't. And that's why we're in the situation we're in.
Yeah, because, I mean, especially around you, people are sick of it. There's a lot of people that are sick of dealing with it and have now decided to kind of to take their foot off the gas in how safe and cautious they're being.
It's great.
Which might be the dumbest mindset that you could possibly have in the
moronic.
Middle of a
By the way, on that note, Bobby Bowden has just been rushed to the hospital. He has COVID, and his wife said still precautionary, but by ambulance taken to the hospital.
You had another coach, too, didn't Kevin? Kevin Sumlin's got it, too, doesn't he?
I didn't see that, but maybe.
Yeah, Kevin Sumlin has it from great. Arizona, yeah.
Great.
He's got it.
How about the 20 guys that are on the same plane as Stephon Gilmore?
Ugh, terrible. How about the Chiefs? I mean, Mahomes is nose-to-nose with them, and they're playing the Raiders this week, who just tested positive.
Yeah, but at least you saw with the Vikings that have been, apparently because it's outdoors or whatever it is that, you know, somehow it didn't transit from Tennessee to the Vikings. But if you're sitting on a plane with somebody, if I'm flying, if Stephon Gilmore has it, and I'm flying from New England, from Boston to Kansas City on the same plane.
And now you have to deal with days.
I think that was their logic for splitting the team and going in two planes. I think that's why they did it, so they could make sure that they spread out in the planes and they were, you know, I guess, properly distance. Although I don't know how you properly distance on a plane, but I guess that was their logic behind doing it. I don't know if every team is going to take that approach to try to make sure that if there is somebody that could potentially have it, they don't infect the rest of the team. I mean, this is a very tricky thing. But again, I come back to, if you're not completely isolating the players, then you know, it's just in terms of having confidence in your plan and your ability to stay on schedule with how you've kind of laid things out, I just don't think it's going to happen.
Well, you can't. It's impossible.
You can't.
I mean, I don't know how you can.
You can't. You can't. Oh, hello, yeah. Dan. How are you?
You cut out for a second, but you're back.
Well, I'm glad.
It's been a busy day. But,
it really has. It's a crazy
it's
day.
It's almost over. Yeah.
There's a lot of news. Let's go there. I guess the one that's most intriguing to me is the Titans, and two more tests positive today.
Yeah.
I guess the Titans-Bills game is really up in the air right now for Sunday, isn't it?
I would agree with that. I mean, I think, you know, the only way they would really be able to play that game as scheduled would be if the Titans came back all negative tomorrow and the league would approve them to open their facility. League and the players' union would approve them to open their facility. But it feels far-fetched because they just had two straight days of negative tests, and they thought they could get back in today, and then two more positives. So I don't know that the league and union are going to necessarily trust one more day of all negatives in Tennessee and allow them to get back to work. So they haven't been together since last Monday, and, you know, the game being Sunday, it's not going to be a lot of prep time, and they can't push it back to Monday because the Bills are playing next Thursday. So, yeah, this is going to be a tricky one. They're going to have a hard time rescheduling this one if they end up having to do it.
Yeah, but, Dan, with the incubation period of this virus, I mean, even the Patriots game, the fact that it was Cam Newton, he was in close contact with guys like Stephon Gilmore, I mean, is like a – in all honesty, you know, outside of – and Canty and I have been talking about this from the beginning, you know, some kind of, you know, bubble, whatever you want to call it, where guys are, you know, stuck in a hotel like they would be in training camp. Like, how do you honestly prevent something like this from continuing to happen?
Well, the key thing is, you know, the league has said all along, it's not going to be able to prevent positive tests. What it wants to prevent is spread. And so what we've seen in Tennessee is a spread and an outbreak, and that's obviously – you know, they're under investigation and they're trying to figure out what went wrong there, because the league and the union believe that the protocols they have in place, if followed, will work in terms of preventing spread. And they feel like in Tennessee those protocols were not followed. Now, we'll see what happens with New England. If there continue to be positive tests in New England and there's an outbreak like what we saw in Tennessee, then, you know, now you have two teams that you're dealing with in terms of, you know, did something go wrong with protocols? If it remains limited and we don't get positive tests back from Kansas City, which played New England Monday night, then you have isolated cases which you can treat and deal with. So as of now, they're wobbling, obviously, but they're not at the point where they feel like the system is messed up and they have to change it. And the bubble idea, I was just told again this morning, I mean, it's just not under consideration. They feel like it's just too big a population in terms of the number of people that play for and work for each team, and they feel like bubbling them up would create a situation where there's, you know, maybe even a greater possibility for spread with that many people in one place.
So let me get this right, Dan. They think that going to a modified bubble and having all the personnel in hotels could potentially enhance or increase the rate of transmission of the virus in the NFL population. Is that what they're saying?
Yeah, I mean the example was, like, you know, where have you seen most spread, you know, in like society at large, right? You're talking about like nursing homes and places where a lot of people are together, you know, for extended periods of time. So that was the example I got. Look, I'm not saying, you know, they're right or they're wrong. I'm telling you, this is the way they're thinking. And they don't want to go in the bubble. They feel like it's too many people. And at this point, they believe that the protocols, which they worked on all summer, which they issued new sort of, you know, a strengthening or enhancement of yesterday in terms of more rules that are being put in place going forward, they feel like that's their best chance to get the season played.
Dan, the events of the last 10 days in regards to COVID, it makes it feel like it's pushing us closer to the reality that every team in the NFL might not play 16 games. Is that what people in the NFL are bracing themselves for? Are we closer to that reality?
Yeah, that is a possibility. Always has been a possibility. You know, the league raised the possibility the other day that teams might have to forfeit games if they're found to be culpable for a situation that, you know, messes up the schedule or messes up other teams. So, you know, it's, yes, you could get to a point where they can't reschedule. Let's, for example, if they can't reschedule Tennessee-Buffalo, there's nowhere to put it, and they decide that that forfeiture on Tennessee's behalf is too severe a punishment for whatever it is they did, and they could simply cancel the game, and those two teams end up playing 15 games, and everyone else plays 16, and so the playoff seedings are determined on winning percentage. And that's possible. Baseball did it, right? Not everybody played the same number of games there, so I think. But, yeah, so that's their – everything's on the table, and they don't know exactly how it's going to go the rest of the way, and they're not going to until – unless and until they finish.
Oh, unbelievable. Dan now, Graziano Dan, with us here. Go ahead.
Austin.
No, Dan, I wanted to ask you this question because there's another game that's, you know, potentially going to be rescheduled on Monday night, but that's not for COVID concerns. Can you tell us a little more about that?
You know, I've seen the coverage of this story with – you're talking about New Orleans, right?
Yep.
Yeah, this is not – because I've been kind of on the other stuff this morning, but I have been following that. I don't know necessarily – haven't done a lot of reporting on it, but what it looks like is – because of the hurricane, it looks like from what I've seen, the Saints are thinking about moving their operation somewhere else. Was it Indianapolis for the week?
Yep.
And maybe even playing there Monday night if they can't play at the Superdome. So, yeah, it's there's only room in your head for so many, you know, potential calamities at once. And so, yeah, I'm a little bit out of the loop on that one, but I did take note of it, and certainly it's possible. There's precedent for stuff like that in terms of weather concerns, you know, natural disasters. So obviously they have to make sure and keep their people safe. And if relocating for the week is what they have to do, then I think the league is in position to accommodate that. They've done stuff like that before.
Dan Graziano with us here, 98.7 ESPN. Dan, let me ask you something on the field, at least before we let you go, and that is Washington. I mean, already they're benching Dwayne Haskins.
Crazy.
He started what 13 games in the NFL, and I don't think he's going to be a great quarterback by any stretch. But they're it seems like they're done with him, right?
Yeah, you don't think, but you don't know that because you haven't seen enough to base a decision on. But apparently, Washington's coaching staff has. Look, this was the alarm went off when they brought Kyle Allen over because we know that Ron Rivera and Scott Turner, the offensive coordinator, really liked Kyle Allen last year in Carolina and, you know, trust him, I guess. So, yeah, it's unfortunate because Haskins, you know, drafted by a team where the coach and the owner weren't on the same page in terms of drafting him, and then the coach gets fired early in his rookie year, and now there's a new coach, and he's not his guy. So it really does tell you that, like, so much of it matters. Like, we marvel at, like, what Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson have done. And maybe those guys would have been great anywhere. But they did happen to land in two outstanding spots in terms of the coaching staff and the coaching staff's ability to be creative and play to their strength and the continuity of the coaching staff's there. So that tells you what the good and the bad of it. And the bad of it is with the situation Haskins is in where, yeah, I don't – you can have an opinion on him, but I don't think there's enough evidence at the pro level really to inform a qualified opinion on him, and hopefully he gets the chance to show more.
It was only 11 starts, Dave, by the way. He's played in 13 games. Dwayne Haskins only started 11 games.
11 starts, yeah. Josh Rosen got more starts.
Well, I mean, I would also add, I mean
– yeah, no, I mean, crazy.
Dan, the names you mentioned, too, I mean, Mahomes and Lamar, I would probably put – I'd put Josh Allen on that list, too.
Absolutely, right? I mean, he ends up in a spot. Absolutely, he ends up in a spot with a coaching staff that is comfortable and is going to sit there and go, "How can we make this work?" As opposed to, you know, let's get our guy in here and make it work, right? I mean, that's what the good coaches do. They take what they have and they figure out how to win with it. And I think it's a shame. It could be ridiculous. We could look back and say it's ridiculous to compare Dwayne Haskins to those guys because obviously. But, again, we don't know, and I don't see where Washington can really convince itself that this year is anything other than a rebuild. And if it is a rebuild, then I think you do want to spend it finding out what you have in your first-round pick from last year.
Very, very strange. Very, very strange. All right, Dan, listen, we really appreciate it. You know, more than ever, stay healthy this week, and we'll talk to you next Wednesday.
Yep. Yeah, Absolutely. You guys too. I don't know. My Siri is talking to me now, and it's just been a weird day, guys. But I appreciate you guys having me on. I always enjoy it, and take care.
All right. That, of course, is Dan Graziano, and this is the beauty of live radio. I want to remind you, on DCR, you can listen to us anywhere. Click listen live at ESPNNewYork.com. Find 98.7 ESPN on the ESPN app or the TuneIn app, or simply tell your smart speaker 98.7 ESPN. At 98.7 ESPN New York, we go where you go. Rick, we're going to go in observations in like 30 seconds. Rangers did very well last night, from what I'm reading.
Yeah, they did well. I mean, the second that ping pong ball came up with the first overall pick, they knew exactly who they were taking.
He's a stud, isn't he?
Stud.
Great.
He's a stud. The only downside
is he's not a
center. Exactly.
Yeah. That's what I've heard. And the kid they moved up for, Schneider at 19, you know anything about him?
Yeah, that's another good move. I mean, that was one of those ones where being, you know, having the ability to kind of pick up the phone, get an offer, say, okay, this guy's the guy we like, move up. I mean, it was a good move.
I guess they were concerned the Devils were going to take him, right, at 20?
Yeah, their front office is doing a hell of a job, man. Hell of a job.
Good, good. Islanders, Canty, Devils did well, too, quickly.
And Canty loves their head coach.
Well, he's a great guy. He's a friend of the show. How dare you?
Traitor.
Come on, I'm surprised
he hasn't quit the Rangers and gone to Tampa. Did you see that? Did you see the hat that John Cooper was wearing after Tampa won the Stanley Cup?
Yep.
Virginia. Ugh. That was the
Chris Canty. Wahoo wah. There you go. Yep. There you go.
All right. Let's go. We don't have a lot of time, so let's go, Santy. Play it.
Do you need to feel better about your life?
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
And totally redeem yourself!
Let's take a look at Rick's Knob Observations.
Welcome back, dum-dum.
All right, here we go, fellas. Wednesday edition, Knob Observations. Quickly, Dave. Weather. Quickly. Weather.
Oh, weather. All right, I wasn't prepared for this, but thanks for that open. It's nice today. It's a high of 66 degrees, a little partly cloudy. Actually, I'm seeing a chance of rain at about 4 o'clock, but other than that, this is going to be a nice, nice day and be into the 60s, well into the evening, and then a clear, crisp evening as well. Sun setting at 6:25, so it gets earlier and earlier. That's a quick check of the weather. Go.
Terrific. Terrific. You mentioned the NHL draft. Sandy's got some sound for us. A little surprised last night with the NHL draft and the Ottawa Senators draft pick.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Jeopardy. Our category today is the NHL. And here is the clue for you. With the third pick in the 2020 NHL draft, the Ottawa Senators choose this player. The correct response? Who is Tim Stutzel?
That's awesome.
That was cool.
That's awesome. By the way, is there, in the entire country, is there anybody more likable than Alex Trebek?
No.
Or according to Don, Alec Trebek.
Well, that's incorrect. But, I mean, he's so likable.
Well,
I don't know anybody that doesn't love Alex Trebek.
Sean Connery's not a huge fan.
No.
If you've watched SNL.
Yeah, that was just fun.
Neither is Turd Ferguson. It's a funny name.
It's a great skit.
That's his move. That's the sound your mother made last night, Trebek.
Excuse me.
All right, here we go, boys. Did this happen in Florida? 21-year-old student thought it was a good idea that after a couple bottles of Zin and maybe a few shots of honey tequila, what would they do? Well, they would have a good game of dare. What would they dare to do? They would dare her to climb into, of all things, a washing machine. Can we all guess how that turned out?
They put it on a spin cycle?
No, she got stuck. Could not get herself out, so they had to call the EMTs to come pull her out of said washing machine.
Oh, my God.
I honestly don't know what's wrong with people. I have no idea what's wrong. How could you, in your mind, think that's a good idea?
Excuse me, it was a dryer. It was not, obviously, the dryer. She stuck
in. Either way, it doesn't matter. Either way, it's ridiculous. I understand that's why they call it an observation, but I don't know. I'm going to say it did happen in Florida, though.
Ooh, you say in Florida.
You're going to say it did happen in Florida.
So you think they wash clothes in Florida. Good for you.
I will say no. I'm not going to say Florida.
Santi, you do fun stuff with appliances. Florida?
I'm going to say not Florida, but honestly, I thought this was heading for a much darker place.
No, this is, I don't like to get too dark, I mean, under the circumstances. Dave and Santi are correct. Christopher Candy is not. This was not Florida. This was in the UK.
In the UK.
This is in the UK, yeah.
Home of the cursing parrots, right?
Look, oh, yeah.
Yes.
I mean, those, they've been separated. You can't trust those five parrots. All right, here's a clip from the Pat McAfee Show. This is one Aaron Rodgers. This could potentially be knobbish. Is he a truth? Is he a truth teller, or is he borderline knobby a little bit?
You know, I sometimes laugh when people talk about, you know, down years for me, because a lot of times down years for me are career years for most quarterbacks.
Love it.
Is it knobbish, Chris?
No, it's not knobbish. I love it because it's facts. It too. It's true. He had 26 touchdowns to 4 interceptions last year and 4,000 yards passing, and people said it was a down year. And they won 13 games.
Yeah,
and
he's awesome. You see what they are since Mike McCarthy's left there in the regular season? 17-3. Pretty good.
Did you do that math all by yourself?
I was about to say, right? Right?
Well, they had the 13 last year and the 4 this year, and then the 3 losses from last year carry over, so that'd be 17-3. But he's 1-3 with the Cowboys, so you figure it out.
How much time we got left, Santi?
8 seconds.
Do I got a minute?
No.
How many?
8.
Oh, that's it? I only got 8 seconds? Never mind.
Yeah, 5.
I got nothing. No, that's nothing. It. I was going to tell you the story about me being a bad parent, but I can't. I only
tomorrow. Tomorrow we will absolutely get into that story. All right, Yankees, Rays, 7 o'clock tonight right here on 98.7. For us, it's Rule 76.
No excuses. Play like a champion. It's DPHO, Canty, Rothenberg, and...
Everybody.
On 98.7 ESPN.
DCR is DPHO, Canty, and Rothenberg. Kicks them weekday mornings at 9 on 98.7 ESPN.